How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is Monday night, Tuesday morning, March 11, 2014, figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. We are here to talk about Raw, and we've got a potential new main event for WrestleMania. Daniel Bryan may, in fact, be fighting for that title if he can get past Triple H. They pulled the trigger on that. No CM Punk. And Dave, what's going on?
Nothing. I guess that's the big news. They're going to go with Daniel Bryan. He's got to win the championship now.
You'd think.
You would think.
I put nothing past these people at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's 100%, but I think it's pretty much of a logical finish. I think anything else would be just, you know, wouldn't be the right finish at this point. I mean, it's not like Orton's like knocking him dead as champion, and Batista, you know, is absolutely not knocking him dead. Just kind of shrinking in stature by the day.
You know, we'd been talking about the possibility of Daniel Bryan being in that match for a while, but watching the show tonight, there was no CM Punk, and I don't know. Did you get the idea that kind of this the show, and I just felt, and I'm probably completely out of my mind, but it felt like there was a big F you to CM Punk tonight. Like,
really? I didn't sense that at all.
I sensed it in the sense that
I mean, if you're talking about some of the verbiage, yeah. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as the show itself, no, I wouldn't say that.
I just think that, like, Daniel Bryan is now in CM Punk's match, the match with Triple H he was going to have. And now he has the opportunity to also main event WrestleMania, close out the show. And they're also putting AJ's title on the line tomorrow night. I would not be in the least bit surprised if she lost that title tomorrow night.
I expect that she would because look at what they did with the thing in the ring with Natalya and Nikki Bella having the stare down over who should, you know, over the thing. I think they may be going to a multiple person women's match for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because Naomi was originally supposed to be in that, you know, in that championship thing. So I could see, you know, Nikki Bella, AJ, Naomi, you know, maybe just even everyone. Maybe the whole roster thrown in some kind of a, you know, elimination match, or can't be a battle royal now because they already got another battle royal, but some type of something, or maybe a four-way or something. I don't know. But looks like, you know, I sense that they were setting up Nikki Bella and Natalya and that as a championship match, which would probably mean one or the other gets the title. And tomorrow would be as good a time as any. I think they want to establish that main event thing and where the idea that something big can happen. And title change, I guess, is, you know, for something somewhat big, I suppose. I mean, how big, you know, Divas title, but still.
We got two title matches on the show. There is the Divas title match, and they are also doing Mark Henry against Dean Ambrose for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. There could be a screw-up with the Shield, and Ambrose could lose, but I just don't see it, you know, going to Mark Henry. I suppose it's possible, but I don't know. I would think if he's going to lose, it would be somebody else.
Well, let's look at this show here. It opened up with Hogan coming out, and he had his big WrestleMania announcement. He said that he had a lot of WrestleMania memories, mentioned his matches with, among people, the big jacked-up Ultimate Warrior. That was exactly how he described him. Particularly, he remembered, obviously, the Andre match. He said it gave him goosebumps. He said that he came up with his idea when thinking back about his match with Andre, and that was to come up with a 30-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal for WrestleMania. He said it's going to happen this year, 30 men, and the winner, Dave, is going to get a trophy. I love trophies in wrestling. Showed it up on the screen, Giant Andre the Giant trophy.
They should make the trophy 7 feet tall.
Hey, they may as well.
Yeah,
of solid gold.
They didn't, but they should.
If they get this TV deal and a million subscribers, they could make a life-size solid gold statue of Andre the Giant.
Yeah, but then they wouldn't. You really wouldn't want to give that one away, though.
You may be right. So Cena came out and he put over WrestleMania three.
Looks like if you're going to do a 30-man battle royal, that probably some NXT guys are going to be in there.
Yeah, Zack Ryder will get his shot again on the show.
Maybe. Yeah,
you're not confident.
Are you?
Well, he's back on YouTube.
Yeah.
If they need 30 bodies, I think that Zack Ryder will be in there. He'll be thrown out immediately.
Yeah.
But he'll be in there. So Cena was out there. He put over Mania 3, talked about how he was a child going berserk, said he wanted to be the first entrant. Yeah, John Cena came out and his plan was that he was going to be in a battle royal at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I bought that.
He's been dreaming about it since 1987.
Yeah. So Bray Wyatt came out and he said that pride was his favorite sin. It can blind the strongest man. He said they were both liars. He says hope is dead, along with both of their legacies.
Actually, you know what? There was some irony, because let's face it. I mean, like, Hogan is one of the bigger liars there is.
I guess so, yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean,
I prefer worker.
Well, it's the same. I mean,
let's be fair to the guy.
I haven't read a more dishonest wrestling book than Hogan's two books.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
By the way, that reminds me. I just got to say this real quick. The greatest PW Insider scoop of all time. They scooped the publishing date of my own book.
Uh-huh.
Apparently it's October 14th.
Is it?
I had no idea.
Oh.
Yeah. So congratulations to them. They outscooped me on my own book. Anyway, you were saying.
That's actually quite funny.
I was just baffled. I was on there and I just read that. And I went, it is? Great. So yeah, October 14th. I'm very excited.
Same
my own book's coming out.
Book, huh?
Huh?
Same day as the Jericho book.
It is. Same day as the Chris Jericho book.
Yeah, yeah.
Artie's probably going to listen to this and go, I told you 16 times!
Did he?
He may have. I don't know. It was news to me when I saw it.
Okay.
I knew sometime in October, but anyway.
Well, then since the books always come out on Tuesdays, you had a 4-to-1 chance.
Hey, that's right. They had a 25% chance, like in one of those fatal four-ways. Everybody's got a 25%.
Not exactly. No, but I mean, you know. I mean, Bray calling Hogan a liar, that wasn't a stretch.
No. It was funny, though. He was talking about, what did he say? He said some kind of, that's what it was. I couldn't even believe the verbiage here. He explained that Hogan always talked about saying his prayers and eating his vitamins. And then he immediately said, you're both liars. And I was like, who scripted that line?
Dr. Zahorian?
I guess. My God. I couldn't believe that when I heard it. So anyway.
Well, I think that they're expecting that the audience wasn't thinking the same thing you were at the time. They were just thinking that he's some heel cutting a promo.
I guess so. So he said he was a god. Cena says you're not a god. You're a homeless guy. He did some singing and some comedy.
Again in Margaritaville, yeah.
He will never carry off the Rock's material, but they keep trying. So finally, he challenged Bray to a match at WrestleMania. He stepped out of the
Battle Royal first.
Yeah, he had to bow out of the Battle Royal. You can't work twice at Mania.
Oh, Daniel Bryan will.
I guess so. Well, see, if Daniel Bryan thing would have happened first, Cena would have been in the Battle Royal.
No, he wouldn't.
Maybe next week he'll go. Now that Daniel Bryan's wrestling twice, I want a shot at this 7-foot solid gold trophy.
Yeah.
So
well,
that right was the opening segment.
Battle Royal, so that's good.
Yeah. We had Cena and Rowan. Hogan was there at ringside, and they had a quick match. Cena slipped behind, cradle, 1-2-3. Bray was outraged. Couldn't believe how short this was, actually. I guess they had no faith in Rowan. But Hogan and Cena did the big pose down afterwards. Everybody cheered. And
that's probably why they did it, was just because the whole thing was just the pose down. It was interesting to me in the sense that Cena didn't even bother, like, taping up anything.
No. It's John Cena. He's Superman.
Yeah, but he's coming off this crippling injury.
Well, there's no such thing as a crippling injury when you're John Cena. I don't have an explanation for you.
Yeah.
So that was the opening segment there. They posed for a long time. Everybody cheered, and there you go. We had Steph and Triple H come out.
By the way, Jimmy Hart in the post-game show made a big deal, you know, about how Hulk, you know, Hulk is so popular that the people are now cheering John Cena, which I think probably won't be happening next week. At least at the TV audience, at the house shows, obviously they will. You know what I thought was amazing was I think we talked about this before, but at the Madison Square Garden house show, people cheered John Cena more than Daniel Bryan on Saturday night. Like, it's just so weird that if you put TV cameras there, those same people would boo John Cena, but they cheered him wildly because there was no TV cameras. So it's like, I don't know exactly what that means, but that's what happened.
Well, it means that booing John Cena is just now part of the show, and that's what you do when you go there.
But why not at the house show, too?
That's a different kind of show.
Okay.
The camera's not on you. So Stephen Hunter came out, and they said they were going to lead by example. They were not going to fire Daniel Bryan tonight for kicking Hunter in the head last week, but he needs to come out tonight and admit that he was wrong. And Steph said that Hunter was above Bryan in many different ways, including, I don't know what. We don't need to talk about it. So he said, I'd apologize.
Well, they already brought it up. If it's okay on a PG show.
Well, I was trying to be as vague as they were.
Yeah. Well, he was like a bigger star, and he's taller.
Sure.
All that other stuff. Yeah.
So she said, how would she know that, by the way? Hunter should have been
he's
upset.
Taller? He's way taller. I even know that.
I don't know. I'm talking about the tall part. I'm talking about the other.
What, he's a bigger star?
Indications.
Probably not a bigger star right now, but historically, he's still a bigger star.
Anyway, she said that he needed to come out tonight and apologize. Otherwise, there would be severe consequences. She was, like, amazingly infuriating this evening. She has got it down to a science how to be infuriating. So we had the Usos and Rybacksel. The Outlaws were out there doing commentary. Another quick match. The big spot at the end, the big dive spot, and then the frog splash along with a crotch chop, pinned Axel.
Yeah, the Outlaws were out there. So they're still going to work with the Usos as soon as Road Dogg heals up.
Mm-hmm. What's Road Dogg's injury?
Back injury.
Just a back injury?
Got it last week on Raw.
There you go.
The you know what's interesting is on the show, they were, and I'm trying to figure out what the psychology of this was. When they were pushing the network, they just kept emphasizing how it's free for 1 week, which they did the first week, but then they got away from saying free. So I think that probably means that they haven't gotten as many signups after the free week. And also, I'm guessing that a lot of the free signups, people like either kept it going or forgot to cancel. So, you know, the retention rate was pretty high because it usually is in those situations anyway with anyone. So I just thought it was interesting how they were marketing it as you know, that they were pushing so hard the free aspect of it this week, which, you know, and I wonder, you know, I mean, I'm guessing that the free thing, they'll keep going until Mania, because I think if they do the free thing and, you know, through, you know, and don't cancel it before Mania week, a lot of people will maybe next year just go, I'll just take the free week during Mania week.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if there was a free WWE Network week the same week as WrestleMania. It's possible, but I would be...
I would be surprised too. But UFC, you know, did the free, you know, still doing the free week when they had, you know, and this was the show that they had over the weekend, was the biggest show early on the network. I mean, it's the closest thing to a, I wouldn't say it wasn't a major show by any means, but it was the biggest, you know, drawing card that they've had.
Yeah, but it was still the equivalent of what you would see on free TV. I mean, that was
true.
FS1
yeah,
show.
Right. It was not
WrestleMania.
It's not even equivalent of a pay-per-view.
No.
You know, I mean, there was one match, and that match would be, if it was on a pay-per-view, would struggle to be number two and would probably normally be on a pay-per-view number three match.
So what do we have next? We had, Steph and Hunter are out there. Oh, I'm sorry, we got that. Kane met with the Shield backstage, and he said, you guys have screwed up a lot lately. Have you become disposable? So yes, Kane, as whatever his role is, was threatening to fire the Shield.
Just trying to make them walk on eggshells for their job like everybody
no,
else.
No, he asked if they were disposable. That means you would be gone.
Yeah, that was just to scare them. He wasn't really going to fire them.
So he said that this all stemmed from the incident where they lost the tag titles to the Rhodes brothers. And so he said, well, tonight you're going to have a chance to redeem yourself to, he actually had a, exercise the demon was the term he used. And he signed them against the Rhodes brothers. And Seth said, that's cool. But, is this about us or is this about you? You've lost to Daniel Bryan twice in the last couple of weeks, and Kane told him to shut up and step up tonight, exercise the demon, and then Roman got his big line, which is, we will destroy any demon that gets in our way. And of course, he was referring to Kane. So, match signed for tonight. We had Jack Swagger and Biggie Langston. They're pushing hard the issues between Swagger and Cesaro. Swagger He said, I got this before the match. And so, of course, Zeb wanted Cesaro to interfere, but Cesaro says, no, he's got it. So, of course, Swagger gets pinned. And then him and Cesaro get face-to-face. Zeb flips his lid, starts tearing his clothes off like he's Ric Flair, screams at them to shake hands. And they finally shook hands, and as they did so, Cesaro gave him the big squeeze. And this breakup is coming, I presume, at any time.
Oh, yeah.
You think they'll have a match at Mania?
I would think so, yeah.
Do we have a spot on the card for him?
I hope so. I hope they're not in the Battle Royal. That would be a waste.
We had the Undertaker entrance. He's coming out. He does a full entrance, and Paul Heyman interrupts. And Paul does his promo about all of these legends, Hulk Hogan, John Cena.
Did you hear Waller screw up immediately?
About what?
He goes, Brock Lesnar's never been in the ring with The Undertaker. And then, like, immediately, Cole and JBL said, never at WrestleMania. Red King, never at WrestleMania.
Well, Lawler had a bad night in the closet, for sure. Did you see that shirt?
Yes, of course. Everyone, you know, Vince went crazy on it, I heard.
Vince hates that shirt.
Yeah. Well,
where do you get a shirt like that?
He got it from Tom Nunnery.
Is it because he's the king and he just decided he's going to wear that out there tonight? It's the ugliest shirt I've ever seen on television.
I don't know. I don't know why. I think that the guy who provided the symbol, the symbols and the drums, I think, gave it to him to wear.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It was atrocious.
I think that's the idea that since he's in Memphis, he was going to dress up, but he hates dressing up.
Well, he sure showed everyone.
Guess so.
So, talked about all the legends, this is Paul, that could not string together even 5 wins in a row at WrestleMania, much less 21. He says he worshipped The Undertaker and The Streak, and therefore he begged him not to do the match because he said if they went to WrestleMania, Brock was going to kill The Streak. And suffice to say, The Undertaker said no, and he said if Brock showed up at WrestleMania, he was going to rest in peace. Exactly what you'd expect from this promo.
Well,
and they needed nothing more.
It's not like you want Undertaker to do a long promo.
No, this was perfect.
I mean, Paul was there to carry the promo, and he did well. And the one thing that I was surprised was them talking about how they did some poll, and everybody thought that The Undertaker would beat Brock. And I just think that when you're promoting this match, that's probably not the way you should be promoting the match.
Well, I know what you mean, but at the same time, who are you ever going to put in there that people are not going to predict The Undertaker is going to beat them?
Don't bring it up in the build-up. I mean, if you did the same thing any year, nobody predicts that The Undertaker is going to win. But
well, maybe this is like that. Remember when they said Jerry McDivitt, when you tell people that, that's going to make people think that maybe Brock might win at WrestleMania.
I don't think it was the case here. I don't think anyone believes Brock's going to win.
I don't.
Well, probably not. Unless it's Undertaker's last match, then he might.
Even then, he's not losing to Brock Lesnar.
Probably not.
We had Shield and Cody and Goldust. Good match, long match. He done Goldust for a while, and then a power slam on Reigns made the hot tag. Cody runs wild, hit a muscle buster on Seth. Roman made the save. Goldust hit the ring, got speared. We had Cody and Seth in the middle, and then finally Seth hit him with a curb stomp, pinned him clean.
Yeah, powerbomb into the turnbuckles and the curb stomp.
Very, very good finish. Very good finish. So the Shield is back together, which means, you know, the theory is it'll be the last 3 guys in that that Battle Royal and have to decide what to do. There's your big breakup.
I hope not. I hope they're not in a, you know.
You don't think that'll get Roman Reigns over to give him a 7-foot gold trophy?
The trophy's not 7 feet. I just made that up.
That's disappointing.
The trophy. They showed the trophy.
There's still time.
The trophy wasn't big at all.
It was it was on the Titantron. It was 70 feet tall.
It didn't look that big.
They got time to make a life-size one if they want to.
Yeah. Well, they do have time, sure.
All righty. So then we had...
That was interesting that none of the announcers knew what a muscle buster was.
Well, I'm sure they did. They just can't say it. You can't call that muscle buster.
They were. I mean, Lawler was out there like acting like he'd never seen it before.
Lawler may never have seen it before.
It's possible he's never seen it before. I think Cody's done it before, though.
I think Cody has, yeah.
Yeah.
But Lawler...
So he should have seen it before.
Not going to remember.
True.
And Bella's and AJ and Tamina in a tag match. Natalya did commentary. Talked about the title match with AJ on Main Event. For the moment, It is main event, so they could always change that match 6 times between now and the show. So Nikki got the hot tag, pinned AJ. A way to set up the title match right there. And as you noted, they had the stare down with Nikki and Natalya totally just, which I guess means that AJ could squeak out a win tomorrow. That is possible with, you know, something happening with Nikki and Natalya. Oh, and
yeah,
then
with the idea that Nikki comes out and screws it up.
You could set up AJ against all of the Total Divas at Mania, and then one of them beats her.
Yeah, I suppose you could do that.
Total Divas does kick off on Sunday. Are you excited?
I'm too busy this weekend, so no, not really. There's other things. I got higher things on my priority list this weekend than Total Divas.
Name one thing higher on your priority list.
A UFC 171.
All right, maybe. That's not the same day. That's the day before.
Yeah, but I'm flying in and out. New Japan Cup, I got to watch that. I think that might be the only two things. Maybe higher, yeah. Spending time with my family.
That may be higher.
Yeah. Doing anything.
It's disrespectful to the show.
Cleaning my floor.
Wow. Wow. So Brian came out and he said, tonight, this whole thing ends. He says he's going to force them to listen to him because the Yes Movement was going to occupy Raw. He said he was not leaving the ring until he gets his match with Hunter. And he said that many times over the years, people have said, I refuse to leave this ring until I get something. But they always left the ring. But tonight, that was not going to happen because he had backup. So before they went to the commercial break, about 9 geeks in Daniel Bryan shirts got in the ring. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be the lamest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
It wasn't lame. It was really good.
Hold on. So they go to commercial. And when they come back, now there's like 50 guys around the ring. Thank God they went all the way with this. So now it was awesome. You got 50 guys around the ring. They're all going crazy. And of course, the crowd's all going crazy. Everyone's chanting yes. And they're going nuts. And finally, Hunter and Steph comes out. And Hunter says, you guys got 30 seconds to leave this ring, or I'm going to call security. And Brian said, well, listen, if you try and call security, I'm going to have every single fan in this building go outside into the parking lot, we'll set up a ring, and you can do Raw tonight in front of an empty building. So Hunter said, security, get these geeks out of the ring. So he has 2 security guys. This is even worse than Impact. He sends 2 guys down to the ring. They take one look at all these guys, and they turn around, they just walk back shaking their heads. So Steph starts screeching, and she's talking about how Bauer can go to your head, Brian took the wrong guy, or these people were backing the wrong guy, and Brian... He says the fans, Brian said the fans own the ring. Stephanie later, in fact, alerted us that she does own the ring. So Hunter says this is over, calls for the next match. Brian's begging him to get in the ring. It's Sandow.
Sandow came out.
Yeah, Sandow came out. This is the next match. So Sandow comes out and takes one look.
You know what's weird? Okay, so anyway, after they cleared the ring, no Sandow match.
No. He was being disrespectful. He must have been kicked out of the building by the authority.
Okay.
I don't know. So they never
explained that.
Yeah, he's gone. So Hunter tells him to get in the ring. He refuses. Stephanie starts screeching again. And Brian finally says, I'm not leaving without my match. So Hunter says, listen, I like you. I saw something in you. I tried to protect you. I didn't fight you for your own good, but you want to fight? You got it. So the match for WrestleMania is on, but then Brian says, hold on a second. I'm not done yet. That's not all I want. I want a championship match. These fans want me to be in a championship match at Mania. So he wanted to be added to the title match if he could beat Triple H. So Hunter completely flips his lid, has to be dragged out by security, but not before saying, you get what you want, all of it. I'm going to end this whole thing at WrestleMania. Screaming and yelling, the 2 security guys drag him out. And this was great. Sets up the main event.
They got to where they need to be.
Yeah, I thought this was awesome. Started out a little iffy, but by the time they got those 50 guys in there, it was great. So there you go. Daniel Bryan, if he beats Hunter, is in the main event. What are the chances that he doesn't even beat Hunter? I'd say zero.
Zero. Absolutely zero, yeah.
It is WrestleMania.
I mean, he's getting in that main event no matter what, and I think that the chances of him winning that main event are got to be 90%.
So then we had Christian and Sheamus. And listen, if that match goes on last, he's winning.
I think he's got to win no matter what.
I can see him doing something wacky.
I think it's going to go on last as well.
I can see him doing something wacky and, you know. But I think now's the time. So Christian and Sheamus had a Memphis Street fight, won the fan voting. It was also Falls Count Anywhere in 2 out of 3 falls. Those were the other options. They had the music stuff out there. The guys, as noted, that provided Lawler's shirt. So Christian did a diving DDT off the apron before they went to commercial. Actually, not off the apron, off the stage.
That was different. Yeah,
smash under the cement. Bunch of kendo stick shots in the ring. Both guys had their backs busted open by these shots. Essentially, it was a wrestling match with weapons. And about midway through, it turned into a really great match. Not like a match of the year or anything like that, but I thought this match was great. So finally, the big spot of the finish was Sheamus kicks. Christian goes for one of the big bass drums outside, and he brings it into the ring, and Sheamus kicks it right into his face and gets the pin. So it was a great match. JBL and JR are marking out in the commentary booth, talking about how great it was. And this was good. Best match on the show.
Yeah, yeah. I thought what was the thing? I mean, there was a spot where Christian did the frog splash onto, was it like two, what did they put on him?
They put two chairs on him.
Two chairs, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that actually, I almost for a second thought that he was going to win until I realized it was Christian and it was Sheamus, so there really was no chance. But I thought the finish, I thought that was a really cool finish. I mean, I don't like that kind of, you know, all the garbage stuff. I think, you know, I mean, granted, if you do it in every match, it's really bad. It was only one match on the show, so it's something different, but it's just so overdone. But the visual of him kicking through that bass drum into his face, I thought was really good.
We had the Rusev deal, which I'm pretty sure is the same Rusev deal every week. They just replay it and don't tell us. It's exactly the same on every show.
Yeah, I know. It's like I'm almost like, all right, let's move on now. You know what I mean?
So is he going to win the Andre the Giant trophy?
I was actually thinking that he was, yeah. I mean, I don't know, but I was thinking he should, yeah.
So Batista and Orton were mad about Bryan potentially being added to the main event. Authority has left, and Brad Maddox told them that he had been informed that those guys needed to make it work, which they didn't, in fact. We had the Hogan package replay, and then Bray Wyatt interrupted. Talked about how John Cena is a future Hulk Hogan. Two self-absorbed guys who can't let it go. He said that Cena was a monster like him, and he should see that. But Cena's time is up, and his time is forever. So he accepted the match at WrestleMania. That match is now official. And then finally, the main event was Brian and Sho against Orton and Dave. It's kind of funny because they're beating on Brian for a long time, and Sho makes a hot tag, and there were actually people that booed the Big Show because Daniel Bryan was no longer in the ring. It's like, they only want Bryan. He's supposed to go out there and wrestle himself every week or what? So it didn't last long. Bryan got a hot tag, ran wild again, put the S-lock on Orton. Dave made the save. Big Show threw a Shawn Michaels super kick and hit Big Dave. And then Randy Orton hit the RKO on Big Show. Dave went for the spear, accidentally got Orton, and then ate the flying knee. And then Bryan hit the flying knee on Orton as well and got the pinfall. So that was the main event of Raw, a very noteworthy Raw. A lot of news. And hopefully everybody's excited for WrestleMania now.
Mm-hmm.
That certainly turned around the main event, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you had to figure it was going to be like that. I mean, it was just, I think at least since the Elimination Chamber, I think since then it was kind of obvious it had to be. That's how it had to be. So, you know, it's not a surprise. It's what it needed to be. If anything else would have been bad.
So that's the Raw report. Main event is noted. Two matches tomorrow. It is live. Apparently live every week until WrestleMania. And do we have any notes on the Impact show or the Lockdown show last night? 1,500 fans?
1,500 fans, yeah.
1,500 fans.
Yeah, and that's with a good walk-up. So the advance must have been horrendous.
I heard the advance was like 800 or 900.
Sounds right. I didn't get a number other past the point that it was very weak, and that they were very scared coming in, and that's probably why they didn't have, you know, you notice that they had no crowd shots at all.
Oh no.
Yeah, And
how do they not make that building look good with 1,600 people? I've seen them make a show look good with 900 people.
Yeah, but in a smaller building.
I see.
I don't know. I think that maybe before, you know, when they were discussing everything and they thought that maybe it was only going to be like 1,000 people in there, that maybe they just said, we can't do any crowd shots. And then when, you know, they had a decent walk up by that point, they probably just didn't change their, you know, didn't set up. But they did a bad job of miking that building, because the one thing I did hear was that the crowd wasn't too bad. And there were times where I could kind of tell the crowd wasn't that bad, but it sounded like the crowd was just so far away. And it was just, you know, and I don't know what the deal was. I mean, you know, I mean, we've seen that from WWE. We've seen it from UFC. I mean, a lot of times just the miking of the building isn't good, but their miking wasn't very good.
I'm watching the Royal Rumble right now on the WWE Network. And currently, Brodus Clay is in there dancing with the Funkadactyls. This poor guy lost his ladies, lost his entrance, lost his career.
Lost a spot on the card.
Yeah.
I mean, he's almost as far gone as Ezekiel Jackson.
I think ACG. Ezekiel, those guys are far more gone.
I wonder if they'll be in that battle royal.
JTG?
Yeah, probably not, huh?
I'll bet not. Yeah. What's this guy doing? Just like sitting at home and making money?
You're making that much money, but yeah.
He's making money. May as well get another job and just make money.
He's getting a check every couple weeks. So yeah.
Well, good for him.
Getting his downside.
So also, some other news. Anderson Silva has posted a video of him kicking. He's kicking things.
That's freaking amazing.
He's an amazing fella.
Yeah. I mean, he's still not moving that good. And I you know what? I really hope he doesn't fight again. I really do believe he will.
Oh, he will. I'd bet anything.
Yeah, I really hope he doesn't. I mean, they interviewed Mirko Krokop, and he said the same thing. It's like, you know, Mirko had an injury not nearly as bad, and he was much younger when he had it, and he was never the same. You know, where he broke his ankle kicking Vanderlei Silva, when he knocked Vanderlei Silva out. That's just, you know, I don't know. I mean, I do expect that he's going to do it to prove he can do it, but it's just, I don't see how he can be anything but a much slower fighter. And Anderson Silva slower is kind of, you know, just wouldn't be that good. Because just watching Krokop from the other night, you know, and just seeing how slow he got, just it really wasn't fun at all. I mean, it's like after the ring entrance, which Spike, in their infinite wisdom, not realizing that the best part of a Mirko Krokop match these days is the ring entrance, they edited probably almost the entire ring entrance out. And so then we just had to watch him be really slow in his fight.
This person here on Twitter says that Lawler bought the shirt at Graceland. It was a tribute to Elvis. He tweeted about it after the show. So there you go.
Okay.
All right. Let's jump into the mailbag here. You can always send your questions to mailbag@wrestlingobserver.com. And we'll answer as many as we can. This person here says, with all the talk about TRT and drug testing in UFC, what is the deal with the WWE wellness policy? There has not been a suspension since Orton a while back. Before that, all I remember is Truth in 2011 or Mike Chioda. Are we to believe the entire roster has been
born?
That's right. Are we to believe the entire roster has been clean for 2 years now?
You shouldn't believe that, no.
But is that what we are being led to believe?
The entire roster's been clean for 2 weeks.
Wow. Well, what's going on then?
I think people know about when the tests are and they figure out how to beat them. Isn't that what you figure?
Or perhaps some substances you can't test for?
Yeah, I think that goes without saying. But I think that there's also, I think people know, you know, I think people know like what beats your system quick enough to beat a test. And, you know, that's the stuff that they're doing.
Or perhaps they're all clean.
Stuff, and doing stuff that they know that isn't being tested for, yeah. Or that there isn't a test for.
This person here wants to know if there's any news on Sting.
Nothing new that I've heard. I expect him in. You know, just I haven't heard that the contract's been signed. I know that they were very close as of a couple weeks ago. So wouldn't surprise me to see him at Mania, you know, or maybe right after. I don't know.
450 employees in WWE and you can't get this guy to sign a contract? It's been weeks.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, this is the same company that forgot to send Rock his contract, remember?
I do remember.
Yeah. I mean, you know, clerical oversight, you know.
This person says, with the launch of the network and Sky announcing a new TV pay-per-view deal until 2020, will we see a major UK pay-per-view in 2014 or 2015? SummerSlam, Survivor Series, or Royal Rumble, maybe?
With a network, I mean, I see no reason not to. And even without the network, I would have done it. I would have done a pay-per-view at Wembley. I would have done a SummerSlam or a... I don't know about a Rumble because I don't know what the temperature is like. You don't want it. You don't want it freezing or nothing. I don't know what the temperature is like in the UK. But the idea of doing a big, you know, I would have done it even without the network. I ran the numbers a couple months ago on what I figured it would you know, the increase in the live business increase over what a US live card would do, plus the idea that you would probably have really good. European pay-per-view numbers of a show that normally wouldn't do that good on pay-per-view, and whatever drop you would have in the U.S., and it came out way ahead actually doing it, even though in WWE they always think only of the United States, and it was just like, oh, we may lose U.S. numbers by, you know, not having it live and all that. So, but with a network, yeah, I mean, there's absolutely no reason not to do a big show in Europe now. Whatever, you know, there wasn't before. But they didn't believe that, but there really isn't now. So, yes, I believe that they should. I don't know that they are. I know that, what was it, about, you know, a year and a half, they were talking about doing a summer pay-per-view in the UK. Not SummerSlam, but maybe one of the other summer pay-per-views, but it didn't happen.
All right, Dylan here says, do you think Warrior and Jake the Snake could be in the Battle Royal?
Warrior, I'd be really surprised. I suppose Jake could be in the Battle Royal, you know. I mean, I suppose. I just don't see Warrior doing that. I don't think he would. I think he has too much pride to do that, you know, to go in there and be like not what he was. Jake, on the other hand, I think, you know, wants to give, you know, any anything in the spotlight, I think would make Jake happy. I don't think Warrior is not consumed by the spotlight, because if he was, he'd have been in the spotlight, you know, a lot more in the last 20 years. You know, he was, you know, willing to walk away from it for the most part and not crawl back. So it tells me that being in the spotlight is not as big a deal to him as it is to some people.
This person here wants to know about the WCW Boston Brawl. He says, how was WCW internet streaming in 1998?
I don't remember hearing that it collapsed. Was that one of the one that fell apart, or was there one that didn't work? I remember that. I don't remember if that was the one. By the way, you hear like everyone's having trouble streaming. I mean, HBO had trouble yesterday.
Yeah.
ABC and CTV had it last week. There was a problem at what was it, at the pregame show on Raw tonight. There was a problem. There was a problem on the network. Not in the postgame show, but they aired the Rock. Video, you know, one of the Rock home video things. And there was like a minute or two that went out during that tonight with some people. So, you know, they're having problems, you know, with you know, a microscopic percentage of the viewership that they're going to have on WrestleMania Day. And these other things, you know, like HBO and everything, you know, they're, you know, I don't know because, again, like the show that was on. Last night and the Oscars and everything, I don't know how many people were streaming because so many people could get it on free TV. And with WrestleMania, it's like everyone, I mean, it's not, WrestleMania obviously is nowhere close to as big as the Oscars, but it's also not on free TV. So everyone who wants to watch it is going to be either buying it on pay-per-view or watching it on the network. So it's going to be pretty taxing, you know, whereas the Oscars, you know, I mean, I'm sure there are people watching it on the internet, but the vast, vast majority are watching it on TV.
All right. Why was the Isaac Yankem gimmick dropped so quickly back in 1995? Seems like they aired vignettes longer than his actual run.
It was considered a unsuccessful gimmick. So they just wanted to get out of it. As you know, once they, you know, completed the story, they got out of it. Kind of like that, remember Mordecai?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they did gimmick, you know, they built that guy up for months, and then he got one pay-per-view match with Bob Holly that was the shits, and I think he got one TV match, or maybe a couple more weeks. He got a couple more weeks, and then he was gone. And then remember when Luke Gallows was the original Kane.
That's right. Yeah,
that one was that one.
Luke Gallows was the original Kane.
He wore the Kane. He wore the original Kane outfit that didn't fit right.
I actually don't remember this at all. Kane.
Okay, Kane had already lost his mask, and he was just being Kane with the bald head.
Yeah,
right?
Something happened in Seattle.
Yeah, so they brought out the new.
He debuted in Seattle,
Kane,
if I recall correctly.
Kane music, and he came out, and they gave him the lifts in his shoes, and he chokeslammed the real Kane. He was going to be a monster, and then like the next day they blew it off. Practically,
I remember this. I remember this now. Yeah.
So again, it's like one of those things. I mean, compared to those two acts, Isaac Yankem lasted a lifetime.
I'm almost positive I saw that live in Seattle. If anybody remembers, I'm almost certain I was there.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we have? What did Andre the Giant think of Hulk Hogan?
I don't know the answer to that. I know that when they were in New Orleans, Andre the Giant roughed up Hulk Hogan pretty good in a show at the Superdome. Because I think Bill Watts kind of instigated that one. What happened was Watts brought in Andre and Hogan to the Superdome just as an out of market match, and he didn't really care who won or lost because it wasn't his program or nothing. It was just whatever. And Hogan refused to do the job because he said that Vince told him that Vince Senior, not Junior, that he shouldn't be doing any jobs. So he didn't do the job, and then Watts told Andre, this guy said he wouldn't do a job for you. So anyway, Andre roughed him up pretty good there. But I didn't get the impression that after that there was any hard feelings between the two of them at all.
All right, one more here. Why did the Lawrence Taylor Bam Bam Bigelow match go on last at WrestleMania 11? Was it to keep the media staying there for the whole show?
Because it was the main event. And the main event usually goes on last.
But why was that the main event?
That was the match more people were interested in than anything else on the show, by far.
Let's do a few more here. Do you think Brian should stop saying yes until he wins at Mania? If the crowd does it, they do it. The best thing Brian does is show some pretty intense no-selling reactions to the insults the heels give him. Between that and a moratorium on Yes taking on his big Mania moment would feel even more electric. Listen, if he wins, it doesn't matter how many times he says yes or how many crowds say yes between now and Mania. If 70,000 people are chanting yes in Union at Mania, it's going to be awesome. You don't need to worry about holding it back from them. And they will, too.
I wouldn't.
Especially that crowd.
I wouldn't hold it back from them. There's no point.
That crowd will be going absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Steve Austin's podcast, it says, William Regal mentioned a match where Alex Wright's dad, Steve, no-sold against Tiger Mask in 1982. Regal is correct. Wright no-sold and brutalized Tiger for nearly 20 minutes. Is Dave aware of this match? How was it received in the dressing room? Was Wright unprofessional, and was he known as a legit tough guy?
Wright was a good technical wrestler. That was a famous match, and I remember the match where it was just a regular professional wrestling match. I mean, there may have been some stuff. I mean, as far as some spots in the match where it got a little bit, I don't know, just like serious wrestling, so to speak. If you watch that match, it's all completely British style wrestling. I mean, it's not with a little bit of high flying thrown in there. It's not like I don't want to say there was no uncooperation, but I mean, if it was, it would only be like a spot here and a spot there. It was actually considered a pretty legendary match of its time. And Steve Wright was considered one of the original Tiger Mask's best opponents in that one match. They only had one major singles match. They had a million tags. But that one major singles match was, in the Tiger Mask era, I mean, like Dynamite Kid and Rollerball Rocco and Kuniaki Kobayashi were always considered like the big three opponents. I mean, Dynamite was the most famous because Dynamite, which is so spectacular. Rollerball was actually Sayama's favorite opponent because he was I'm a more experienced worker, not a more spectacular worker. And Kobayashi was the one with the most heat because it was Japanese versus Japanese. But if you take away those three, I would say Steve Wright would probably come right after that as far as the you know, the opponent where people talked about those matches and everything like that. It wasn't any kind of unprofessional or anything like that. And there couldn't have been any big problems because if he roughed him up to any significant degree, they wouldn't bring him back, and Wright came back. I remember always we would always get excited when before the New Japan tours, when at that time, I mean, the thing that we would always get excited about was like, who's the guy that they're bringing in this month for Sayama, because they would work all the tags with him and then they would build up to one singles. And Wright was one of the key guys. I mean, Dynamite obviously was the biggest one. Whenever Dynamite would come in, it was like, all right, we're going to get a great match at the end of the tour, you know. And Rollerball, you know, would have been another one. Steve Wright was a great, great, great wrestler. You know, I mean, you ever watch his stuff? I saw he wrestled in California years before he went to Japan. And, what hurt him here was, you know, he was, 185 pounds. And in those days, you know, they wanted all the, you know, most of the wrestlers were 205 plus. That hurt him a little bit, but that guy was always great. And I remember in Japan, you know, he was, he had great respect in Japan. You know, he was like Johnny Saint. That's who I would compare him to. I mean, I'm not saying he was better than Johnny Saint, but very similar stylistically, very similar in build, a little bit taller than Johnny Saint, I think. Just incredible wrestler.
All right, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. We've got a lot of stuff coming up. The Raw report, if you're looking for it, is going to be up in about 5 minutes. This show will be up on the front page for subscribers in about 5 minutes. And we've got a back issue of The Observer that's going to be up tomorrow. I believe that the call-in show that was supposed to take place today is probably going to take place tomorrow. I will alert everybody on Twitter, so follow me there, @BrianAlvarez. I'll put it up on the front page as well. And that's it. So we'll talk to you again after a while.